Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
On this theme of going through Timothy, there's so many subjects we capture. I mean, Paul is writing this to the church. We are the church. Amen. He's writing, he's saying there's a lot of concerns that I see in Ephesus, Timothy, and here's the things that I would like you to address. And there's a wide variety of things. We may think it's Timothy, it's the book of Timothy, it should be all the same. Something in our heads think that sometimes. But there's so many things, and there was this one guy who shared, he said the vision for their family is to just be obedient to what is preached on Sundays. And I thought initially that sounds not quite great, and that sounds quite easy, you know, just do that. But it's not. It's not that easy. And really to open our hearts. We see different things we learn out of the book of Timothy. Today we are looking at to not be ashamed. I mean, it's something completely different. We haven't been speaking about something like this. Definitely, Brown gave us a bit of an intro last week, and we're going to build on it. And I got these three verses this week from verse 8 to 10, but I saw that it's so full of content that today we'll only look at verse 8. So we'll do the next two verses next week, but there's a part one and a part two, but it's really special. And we'll definitely build upon what Brown shared last week, which said, we have not received the spirit of fear, I mean, but of power, love, and self-control. And because we have not received that spirit, we shouldn't be ashamed of the gospel. So we're going to build on that. And this is a rebuke to Timothy. Actually, Paul is saying, hey, do not be ashamed. You are starting to get scared, to get timid. Stop it. Do not be ashamed of the gospel. So that is the context of the verses we are reading. So I want to start off with this, and I just would like to ask you a question. How do you find evangelizing? Is it easy for you to share the gospel with other people? Maybe just think about it for 10 seconds. How do you find sharing you following Jesus? How do you find it? People at work, and there's different people, right? It will be easier to share this with your kid or with your child than to share it with your boss. Amen? But how should I grow in sharing the gospel, because it's a command of God. God says, go out to all nations. How do you feel? And it will be difficult, definitely, sometimes, and we will face persecution in a sense, and that's a large theme of what we are speaking about today. But it's something to be obedient to. Okay, it's really important. And where would you like to grow? Let me just think about it. Is it boldness? Is it the way in which you share? Is it your testimony? Is it Jesus? Obviously, it will always be Jesus. It will always be the truth. But what would you like to grow in? Maybe just think about it. And maybe to make it more practical, maybe think about someone. Think about someone the Holy Spirit is laying on your heart to share the gospel with. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody at work. Maybe it's two or three people, that's great. But be obedient to what you feel the Holy Spirit is saying. Liesl actually shared a beautiful verse in intercession last week. And it comes down to this, the short time that we have on earth, it cannot be compared to the weight of glory that we will receive. So the short time of persecution, of discomfort, of sharing the gospel, it cannot be weighed and compared with what the eternal life holds for us. Amen? And we agree with that. And when we often feel we need to be obedient to the Bible, or we need to do practical things, we will often face persecution. We will often face people saying, "Are you crazy? Nah? Sister, how can you do that?" And we will face persecution. There's a pastor, I think he was from Germany, as far as I remember now, but he went through a big tour through America. It was a long tour, and they asked him, "What is the biggest thing that you feel American Christians neglect?" And he said, "They have an inadequate view of suffering." Or what is the defect? "They have an inadequate view of suffering for the gospel." Eh? Makes sense. We in South Africa as well. And we a few weeks ago, we spoke about being rich, you know, being actually having way more than we need, actually. And we often get into this worldly consumer mentality of, "I need to receive." Even if you share with someone Jesus, who is a lukewarm Christian, he'll probably ask you, what can I get out of it? Ne? Says, "I want to sit on my soft couch with the aircon, and I want to hear how Jesus is going to improve my life. Otherwise, it's not worth for me coming." It's very dangerous. And what this does, is this pushes churches to share a prosperity gospel. Amen? And we should be so wary and so careful. And we feel the tendency to say, "Just sit there. Just pay your tithe. I'll tell you how God will solve your issues. But please just keep the seat warm." And it's so dangerous. We agree with that. Amen? Jesus is saying it's not going to be moonshine and roses. He's saying that we will suffer, we will face persecution, and we'll see it in today's sermon. And often we as well, as evangelizers going out, we see the brokenness in this world. Amen? We see the brokenness in the people around us. And often we neglect to then share the truth, because we feel, okay, I just don't want it to be uncomfortable. I don't want them to not like me. And then we look at Paul, who's going to die, saying to Timothy, "Do not be ashamed." Timothy is like, "Are you totally nuts? I'd probably die if I keep on going like this." And Timothy gets timid, he pulls back, and he's scared. What will Paul say to you today? With this consumer mentality, we forget to tell the customer, you know, your problems may get worse. And yes, I just want to say, Jesus did come for us to have a life in abundance. Amen? But that does not look like silver and gold and a soft seat. The prosperity message does not align with the Bible. Okay, we see in 2 Timothy 3 verse 12, it's black on white. It says, "Indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." All. It does not say some of us. We will be persecuted. And the question I'd like to ask us today is, are you willing to suffer for the gospel? Are you willing to face persecution for the gospel? Do you truly love Jesus? Because that's the next question. It leads to this. Do you truly believe that guy 2,000 years ago died for your sins? And that there was a sacrifice. God gave his only son. It costs him something. And we see it with missionaries, with pastors, leaving the ministry because of struggles, because of hardships. And we have an inadequate view of suffering. How does it look like to suffer for the gospel? I mean, have you been threatened by death for the gospel? No, it's just really uncomfortable to share it with someone at work. Nay? I mean, where are we? And I myself, definitely, I'm not worthy to bring this message. Yes, maybe someone have slandered at me, falsely accused me, saying, don't do that, that's dumb. But that's it. Where there's people dying because of Jesus every day. Being persecuted, being beaten, being imprisoned. And what do the people pray for? God, we pray for boldness. So that we will not stop declaring your name. It's a different view. And it leads us to this question. Do we truly believe in the gospel? So let's read from 2 Timothy 1. That is the context we are reading from. It's 2 Timothy 1 from verse 8 to 10. And it goes like this. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. That is our verse today. We're going to read verse 9 and 10 as well. It says, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. And then this beautiful verse. And which now has been manifested through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. What this means is that when we die, we still live. Even when we die for the gospel, we still live. To die is to gain, Philippians says. Because he brought immortality. Death, where is your sting? Then, because of that, we can now be unashamed. Okay, and that will always be the center of this sermon. But we'll focus on verse 8 today. And I'm going to read it to us again. It says, therefore, referring to the previous verse, which says, we have not received the spirit of fear. We remember that, nay? With power, love, and self-control. That the spirit of power, love, and self-control. And therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, this is Paul, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. And so, and the context here is a rebuke. Paul being very serious. It's a big warning to Timothy. Do not be ashamed, Timothy. I know there will be a tendency to be ashamed, to pull back, to not evangelize, but do not be ashamed. And we are in a world, amen, who does not like to hear the gospel. Amen. It's not that great to tell people you need to change your life and you cannot be your own God anymore. You cannot do the things that you are doing. You need to submit your will under this new guy, Jesus Christ, our Savior. And people do not like to hear that. And we will face persecution when we say that and when we share that with people. We often get scared. And we often then tell people of only certain parts of the gospel, which makes the gospel cheap. And we tend to then, like I said, share a more prosperity type of gospel. And I just want to say on a side note, it will never be an easy discussion. Amen. But we should ask the Holy Spirit to tell the truth, but to tell the truth in love. Amen. Because when we share these things with people, it's difficult. It's difficult to receive. It's even difficult sometimes to give. But if our hearts are truly to save this person, it will come over in that way. And test your heart when you share this with people. But it needs to be in love. Not shying away love will always be to tell them the truth. Okay, it will not, it cannot be to say nothing. And this is, we often then, because of the persecution, because of the difficulty, we conform. Now we conform to this world. Because sharing the gospel is unattractive to the untransformed mind. Now when we say the transformed, we should transform our minds every day. Amen. So that we can think like Christ. How do we do that? We read the Word of God. When you don't transform your mind, you will think like the world. We will conform. This is a serious sin. And this is the sin which Paul is rebuking Timothy of. Do not conform. I know you'd like to conform. I know there's a tendency to conform. But do not conform. And he's facing a ton of challenges. And he says, I'll rather not speak. He's getting timid. And Paul is saying, remember. Remember Jesus. Remember what he did for you on the cross. And he's rebuking him. It's an urgent warning. Do not be embarrassed. You know, we've all felt a bit embarrassed in our life. Nah? Somewhere. Do not be embarrassed for Christ. Do not shy away. If this is true for Timothy, how much more is this true to us? In some way, it's true to us all. Do not be ashamed. We have not received a spirit of fear. And we as people, we tend to look for affirmation. I mean, we seek affirmation from people, except if we say flesh, you know, spirit over flesh. We see it in Romans 8, see it in Galatians 6. You know, we should rather trust the Spirit so that we overcome the flesh, the fleshly desires. We all have fleshly desires, amen. And that it doesn't look like sharing the gospel with every second person. Okay, we will shy away of that. And to be, just to keep it, to be attentive to that. Do not be ashamed. It won't be easy. People will ask, you know, are you crazy? What are you doing? We see in Matthew 10, verse 32, whoever acknowledges me, this is Jesus speaking, Matthew 10, verse 32, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Do not settle for a lukewarm Christianity. Not of yourself and not of those around you. Amen? Shame, don't let shame get in the way. Jesus warns us in Mark 8 as well, Mark 8:38, it says, for if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, the Son of Man will also be ashamed of him when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. We should be unashamed of Jesus. And actually what this means is that if there's enough shame in me, it will keep me from eternal life. Because Jesus says, I will shame you as well before my Father if you are ashamed of me. Shame can keep us out of heaven. We see this in Matthew 7 verse 22. On that day many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do many mighty works in your name? And then will I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. This is really challenging. It's like cast out demons, doing works. Can we, as we just sit, just close our eyes? Just want to pray for us. Jesus, we ask, Lord, that we may know you. Like you said in John 17, that when we know you, we will inherit eternal life. That it will not be about doing things for you, doing dead works for you, but to truly have a relationship with you. Give us grace, Jesus. Holy Spirit, help us, guide us, And show us, how does it look like to truly know you, to come and sit in your house and not work in the field? We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is really, it's really hard eating. I mean, it's not twisting any tails. And Timothy was scared. More Matthew 24, it says, it warns us, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise, like we see today. We see false prophets. We see people sharing a cheap gospel. It's going to be great. When you follow Jesus, your problems will be solved. And it says then, and because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures unto the end will be saved. And maybe let's just reflect on this before we carry on. Where are you ashamed of the gospel? Is there some places where you just feel, I cannot share it here. I cannot share the gospel here. It is never love to not share the gospel. It's never love to not share the truth. There's this image which I saw, or that works well for illustration purposes, but imagine yourself, you are dead and you are standing in the row on your way to heaven. But you also see the people standing in a row going to hell. And there's a friend of yours standing in that row, screaming at you, why didn't you ever warn me? You cannot say, because I loved you. You cannot say, because I loved you so much, I thought it would be best to not tell you. True love is always to share the gospel. It is always to show people how it should look like to live out the gospel. That brings us to point number one. How can we be unashamed? Vian spoke about it last week, so we'll be brief on this one, but it is to rely on the Spirit within you. And just to pause here, if you feel that you're not sure if you have the Holy Spirit, you're unsure if the Holy Spirit is in your life, and secondly, maybe you feel that maybe you've just pushed the Holy Spirit aside, not being obedient to Him. Just there where you are, just invite Him into your life. Just say, Holy Spirit, I want to be obedient to you. And if you're not sure if you have Him, say, Holy Spirit, come and fill me. I want to be baptized by you. And if you feel that you are still unsure, please come afterwards. We want to pray for you. We need the Holy Spirit. It is the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That Spirit is in you. That Spirit will help you to share the gospel. But if we are disobedient, like Ephesians 4 verse 30 says, we grieve the Spirit, He won't force Himself. He will stop. He's a gentleman. We need to invite Him and be obedient to Him. The Spirit will empower us. Okay, our second point, that this is our point we'll focus a bit more on today, and that is, we must accept suffering as from the Lord. Accepting our suffering. Which means that we say, okay, we know. We will suffer, but we accept it. Because Jesus is enough. I want to tell you a story. It was between grade 11 and matric, I was a voortrekker. I don't know who of you know what that is. It's like a Boy Scouts type of thing, né? And we had one of these camps where it was really tough. It was really like suffer fest for me, I felt. And what happened was, we came there and my mom packed me a bag. It was great. There was all kinds of biscuits and enough clothes and warm clothes and everything. And when I came at camp, they threw out my bag, gave me one underwear, one shirt, and nothing else. I think that was it. I think maybe a blanket or something. And they gave me a sail and they gave me a pole. And that is what we have for the week. Man, it was really, really challenging. We got one Weet-Bix in the morning, and we needed to divide a can of beans between me and a friend for the whole day. Yeah. And they woke us up at 3 o'clock, and we just ran around, to there, and we walked, and we carried water, and we carried all kinds of things. And the whole day they kept us busy, and that evening at like 12, we head up camp. And we needed to make sure that when it rains, you are dry. So you needed to like shovel big holes around your tent to make sure that when the water comes, it won't go underneath. And you only have a sail. Sail and two broomsticks. That's your little... And you needed to pack it with rocks and a bit of rope. But it's really not a lot. And just when we were done, you also need to shovel yourself toilets, man. So it was, you needed to have a big hole. And just when we were done, that was around 12 o'clock, they said, okay, pack up, we're going to the next spot. So there we go. We pack up everything, walk to the next spot, 300 meters down the road. Okay, let's pack up again. Off, you know, head camp again. You need to set up camp again. And there we go, setting up camp. Oh, it was an hour later. We slept like an half an hour. Get up, go. 500 meters down the road, set up camp again. So it was just, it was crazy. And I just thought, what am I doing? No, this is really not lekker. And I was a fit young guy, and I think there were unfit women as well. Like, I don't even know how it should have been there, because we needed to carry a bunch of stuff. And I thought, like, how is it when someone needs to go to war? How must that be? They don't even know if they will have food. They don't even have a tent. They cannot sleep because the enemy will kill them. Maybe they can a bit, I don't know. But it must be emotionally, physically draining. And when we think of suffering, this prepares us for the war we are in. I mean, we are in a war. And when God says, rejoice in trials and tribulations, it's because He loves us. He gives us trials and tribulations because we need to prepare for the test that is coming, or the war that we are in. If the only preparation we would have done, let's say I needed to go to Afghanistan for a war, and the only preparation that we are doing is sitting on the beach on Belito, drinking pina coladas, it's going to be a tough war. Amen. But when we condition our bodies, eat less, sleep less, we are ready for war. It's going to be cold maybe, or what, I don't know. But we are ready. And it is the most loving and graceful thing for God to put us through challenges. We see it in Romans 5, we see it in James 1. Rejoice in your suffering because it produces steadfastness and true faith. Wow, that is amazing. I want more trials. No. No, we don't think that way. Amen. That is what Jesus says. We'll face persecution. We will face challenging times. And before we share that it's going to be great fun to follow Jesus, make sure that you share the true gospel with people. Otherwise they come, they see this is not what they signed up for, and they will leave again. And that will be their view of Christianity. It doesn't do it for me. Because we explained it wrong the first time. We will suffer. Paul mentions his imprisonment, and then he says, accept the suffering. Accept the suffering. We must accept the suffering. But it's worth it. Amen. Jesus came to give us a life in abundance. And that does not mean silver and gold, but it does mean the best for you. Romans 8 says, He will do everything the best for you, or work everything the best for those who love Him. I don't know what that looks like, but it will be the best. We don't even know what tomorrow will bring. Now we want to be disobedient to God, not sharing the gospel in the right way, because we are unsure what it will hold for tomorrow. You know, what are we doing? We don't know. Let's trust God. He says that that will be the best. Let's be obedient to what He says. And suffering is not random. It's purposeful. It has a goal. It makes us dependent on God. It helps us grow. It grows us for suffering. It grows us for the test. 1 Thessalonians 4, God says, This is the will of the Lord, your sanctification. It is His will to make us grow. It's God's will that we strive towards holiness. And wait, it's really worth it. We will inherit the kingdom for those who persevere. What a promise.